Hi, I'm Delta Work, and it's time for another episode of Very Delta. Today, I want to address why everyone who works at Trader Joe's is so nice, and everyone who shops there is a fucking dick. I also am excited to bring to the couch my very good friend, Chanel Perillo, who I met on Drag Race 10 years ago, not as a contestant, but as my babysitter. I'm also excited to let you know that even though Starbucks may have gotten rid of their almond croissant, I'm always going to be here for you. You want to see me go off? Because I think you want to see me go off today on Very Delta.
M.
Oh.
M.
Mom!
Are you a lady like me? Introspective, beautiful. Oh, are you intellectual like me? Beguiled by a bargain? You like wild times? Oh, like me? Are you serving the community like me? Well, if you are, then you must be Very Delta. Hi, everyone. I'm back. It's Delta Work, and this is another episode of Very Delta. Very Delta is a podcast where I look gorgeous, speak extemporaneously, and invite interesting people to sit on the couch, or sofa if you like, and tell me interesting things. Very Delta is a podcast for the woman who wears her heart on her sleeve, basically to cover her arms. Today's show is very special. It's so special, I've been overthinking it for like 2 weeks straight, completely. But first, let's get to some things that are very Delta. Why is everyone who works at Trader Joe's so nice, but everyone who shops there is so fucking mean? I don't understand that. I recently went to Trader Joe's just to get banana pudding ice cream. Banana pudding is my favorite dessert, hands down, across the board. I don't even think I've had bad banana pudding, because bad banana pudding to me is good. I like pizza. I like cold pizza. I like warm pizza. There's just certain things that you've never met that are really that bad, because you'll look past those things. But I can't look past the bad behavior of, like, honestly, probably 75% of the people that shop at Trader Joe's. I went in for this banana pudding. Everybody on TikTok was talking about it. Had to go get it. Of course, you know, I remember when, like, collie rice at Trader Joe's was a thing, and you would go and you'd have to find out when their deliveries were, because everybody was loading up on it. And now it's like, you can get it anywhere. You can get it at Walmart. But at the time, that's the only place you could get it. So I thought maybe everyone that was acting crazy when I went to Trader Joe's, because maybe they were looking for banana pudding ice cream too. The second I walk up, people are just fighting for the carts. Like, oh my God, it's frenzied. Like, almost like like a tsunami was coming, and they knew they had like half an hour. You have half an hour to get everything you need, and you can only get it from Trader Joe's. And as soon as I got my cart, like, I waited, and I was like, okay, it's not that deep. Like, I'm just getting a cart out of, like, I don't know, pomp and circumstance. You need a cart, I guess, like when you go into a grocery store, whether you're getting one thing or a million things, it's just sort of ceremonial, I guess. And I like ceremony. So I got the cart and I go in, and like immediately there's like flowers and there's a few people checking people out. And right down the middle sort of side is like a refrigerator case, and then fruit and breads. And everyone is just like pushing these carts like crazy, like no care in the world as to if somebody else was before them or is coming after them. And I just kind of stopped and stood back for a second. And I was like, what is going on? And as people were doing that, I was like, oh, pardon me. Oh, excuse me. And they were like, I'm just so frustrated. I've got to get to the kale. I don't know what I'm going to do. I've got to have Munster cheese. Like, it's so frustrated. It's like, there's enough groceries. There's enough for everybody. It's going to be okay. Like, I realize that you have to get to the, like, bread-free milk or whatever that some people have to have. But, like, it's going to be cool. It's going to be fine. You don't have to lose your faculties. You don't have to lose your manners. But everybody in there, and they look at each other like they are so disgusted that you would be shopping at the same time, or that you might want to look at the bread selection for 5 seconds before you decide on which ciabatta bread to get. Which, by the way, I don't feel like Trader Joe's has like the offerings of bread the way that they should. Maybe a lot of people that shop there don't eat bread, and so they don't need to offer that. I don't know how that works, but so frustrated. Yet everybody who works there is essentially an angel, because they're so polite. They're so accommodating. They're so, and I know they experience this. I can't imagine that they're just like inertly nice all the time, and they just, you know, like they let everything roll off their back, but they're able to do it there while they're working. And I hope, you know, they're not killing people after work, because I guess I couldn't blame them if they were, but everybody there is just so mad and so angry. And I'm like, this is interesting. They're giving away free coffee in the back. Free coffee. And you're still angry? There was a point where I got sort of cornered, and I'm aware of how much room I take. I don't apologize for that, but I also don't try to like hog up more room than I need. So I try to like move my cart to the side or make room so I can look at a few things. And it's like, I felt like I just needed to like jump. I was going to jump up on the watermelon display. Like there was this last bit of summer watermelon, yellow watermelon that I've never had, but I heard tastes exactly like regular watermelon, but it's yellow, so it's kind of magical. But I was gonna jump up there, and I felt like I needed to like fend for myself with like a loaf of French bread or something, like hit people just to get by, just to get the banana. I wasn't even near the banana pudding ice cream, by the way, which I did end up getting, and I haven't tasted yet because it's still sitting in the freezer a week later. And I haven't had the banana pudding ice cream yet because the Target by my house recently reintroduced or restocked the glamping ice cream from Ben & Jerry's. So I had previously got that, and that was the one that I wanted to try. And somewhere in my mind, it's like, oh, you bought that first, so it's been in the freezer like a week longer, because I didn't get to that one either. And I feel like I need to pay attention to that ice cream before I pay attention to the newer one. I don't know why I haven't had either one. I love ice cream. I think it's because I know I'm going to eat the whole pint and not feel bad about it, but I should feel bad about it. And that's why I just never get to the ice cream. I think it's guilt. I know that the reason that I was in such a rush to get the banana pudding ice cream is because a lot of these places, well, a lot of the Trader Joe's locations, I've only been to really two in my area frequently, they run out of these items pretty quickly, because especially if something's on TikTok, you know it's gone. The TikTok leggings, the TikTok started showing pictures of the Dolly Parton cakes, and then those were suddenly gone. So I had to get in there and get it. There's two pints of it in the refrigerator at home. I have a feeling it's going to be very good. That's why I knew I would have to get two, because, you know, once I saw them, it's like they're going to be gone, and then it's going to be forever, and they're going to eventually be like Starbucks. Like, oh, we got rid of that. Like, what do you mean? Almond croissant, that's gone. Like that, it's going to be that storyline. I know it is. So at least I have in my future two nights of watching, you know, the same episodes of Law & Order Special Victims Unit and eating good ice cream. So. After the break, I'll be joined by director, producer, someone who was on Drag Race with me the entire season, or at least the episodes I was on, but you never saw on camera. The one and only Chanel Perillo is here. So go grab two Diet Cokes and join me right back here on the couch. We'll be right back. The new Star series Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly it is. You won't be able to look away, as you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Can you imagine setting your son up to seduce a king? Girl... I couldn't take my eyes off the screen as I watched this historical psychodrama unfold. The show is full of wit, scandal, and action in a genre-bending story that is as sexy and audacious as it gets. You need to check it out. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Stars and on the Stars app. And we're back. I've known today's guest since we met on RuPaul's Drag Race when I was on cast, and she was a talent handler in leggings and an owl necklace. Today, she's a big deal producer. She's a casting director. She's the one and only Chanel Perillo.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh my God, it's so good to see you.
You know, it's hard to read, not necessarily lines, but just get out the facts when somebody that you're really close to is sitting next to you, because you're used to being like, oh, dick, stupid, look at you. Like, you know what I mean? And I think that's when I'm the most comfortable, because I'm around somebody that knows me at my absolute worst, has seen my worst, but only champions my best. Do you know mm-hmm. what I mean? And that's you. Like, that's, we met, gosh, when, so that was 2010?
2010, right?
And the show aired in 2011.
I was like 24 years old, maybe 23.
Yeah, I was, so that means, because I'm 10 years older than you. And you were like our go-to. Like, you were the person that was obviously responsible for all of the talent. Every drag queen you saw in season three, Chanel was the person that made sure that they were eating, made sure that they had something to drink, made sure that if they had a breakdown, make sure that, like, to, you know, build them up, Buttercup. Like, it was all of it, really. It was a very specific time in the lives of people who had no cell phone, couldn't talk to anybody, just met one another and were stuck with one another, hopefully for a month, but some people less. You know, I made it about halfway. But like, it's such a, it was such a vulnerable space. But for you too.
Completely. I mean, watching like Raja, the, like you were all older than me and having to ask me to go to the bathroom. Or, and it was something that show, Drag Race was the first show I ever worked on. And so I was learning as everyone else was learning. Right. And it was like, we didn't even know what the position was at the time. It was like, just make sure the queens are happy. And so I took that to like, I was like, okay, I'm gonna make sure they're happy. And so, and I was thrown into this world that I had no idea about. Like, I didn't know about drag until I met you all. And then that made me want to know everything so that I could like fit in with you. Like, I would go home after work and, like, watch, you know, gay cult classics so that, like, I had something to talk to you about the next day.
Right. Right. No. No, completely. But that was the thing. It was, like, everyone was sort of in there in this sort of, like, baptism by fire. Like, it was, like, everyone was just learning about each other. How do we do it? What do we do? Like, and then the idea of Drag Race only, you know, 2 years in, it wasn't the machine that it is now, which is much more explained and understood and revered, of course. But then to now, it's only been 10 years. And to some people, that's a lifetime, you know. But really, in 10 years, so much has happened to you and you're in such a different place now. Yeah?
Yeah, such a different place. I mean, I started out as a little baby on that show. It really, like, taught me so much. That's how I kind of, like, got into casting, was because when the show would wrap, I would have nothing to do, and I had no money, and I didn't want to, like, give up on my dreams because now I had a dream. Like, I didn't know what I wanted to do when I moved to L.A. Like, I went to fashion school, so I kind of had, like, an idea that I wanted to be in the industry. But until my first day on set did I realize, like, oh, this is, like, was my childhood dream to work in TV.
You know, you were new to drag, but you weren't new to glamour, because your mom, a very glamorous person, and I remember seeing pictures, right?
Yes. Well, that was like my technique, was I was always being told to keep you guys on ice, which meant like, the reason to be on ice is so, is like a reality television term, so that like story doesn't develop when camera's not on you. Like, you have a panic attack, like, and then the next, you know what I mean? So it's like, my job was to keep you guys on ice. So in my head, I was like, how can I keep them from talking about the show? Oh, I'll just talk about myself.
Right, right. No, it's true.
So I would tell you all like stories about my mom at Studio 54 and like my, how cool my parents were, to distract you from talking about the show. And I think that's
why. Which is smart, but we also became like even more friends, because we realized like, you know, sometimes we see people in, when you're in a situation like that, you can very easily see other people that you know or love in other people. So you'll see some trapping of them and you'll go, God, that reminds me of so-and-so. I miss so-and-so, but in a way they're here because I'm developing this new relationship with someone who, just in certain ways, maybe it's the perfume or maybe it's what they wear or their cattiness or something.
Well, it was like, I mean, I don't want to like, it wasn't your age, but like you reminded me so much of my grandma.
I love that. No, I love that. That's
but
a huge
compliment. It was like the way you carried yourself and like the things that we could talk. I mean, my grandma was a gay man. Like, we watched Absolutely Fabulous.
Oh, I love that.
Like she was obsessed with Delta Burke. And so that's why when I first met you, I was like, oh my God, designing women. I remember calling my grandma that night, like, I met this queen named Delta Burke, like after Delta Burke.
So cute.
Like, to this day, my grandma's still a huge fan of yours. But
I love that.
Yeah, like it was just like, it was an aha moment, like, oh, this is my community. This is my world. I always felt like I was kind of putting on a show to be someone, like with whatever social circle I was in. I like hopped. I was like, oh, like I want to be in this group or this. When I met the LGBTQIA plus community, I was like, oh, like this, these are my people.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the thing too is like, of course, when we met you, like in natural cattiness, gay men or queens or whatever, I remember us being like, oh, the talent handle girl, cute, right? Oh, bless. She's so sweet or whatever. But that changed so quickly when we realized like, she's very on your side here, like, and through, then working for a production company, then outside of that, we've all maintained a friendship, and then now in different spaces, you are not just a person who's like, oh, I'm an ally, like, you've never had to raise your hand, you've just done, so, like, you're not about, like, tell me, you're about show me, and there's so many people that I've been fortunate to have here that I don't like surrounding myself with people that just want to have those words but not walk it. You know what I mean? And you've always done that. And you're not looking for like, oh, clap for me or applaud me. You just do it because you really do give a shit. Like, you really do.
I mean, that's why I tour managed for like 4 years. Like, taking care of queens, like, I don't know what. It like lights this like light inside of me. Like, mm-hmm. It's like, it feels like a little bit of like a purpose kind right. of thing. Like, it gives me purpose. I like feeling needed. After working on the show, like, I started to take mental notes of, like, everything queens need and stuff. Like, I liked being the one that could, like,
right.
help.
Right.
You know? Well, because you I felt like a lot of people didn't want to help.
Of course.
Especially on the road, you know? Like, even just, like, anything from, like, a backstage setup.
Right.
Like, you know that.
Yeah,
like,
we talked about that.
I'm sure you've talked about backstage setups. Like, you get there and it's like in a barn with like.
Right. We literally, yeah, compensation facilitation. Like, it's not the same. It's like, what do you need? If you don't need it, then that's fine. But if you do, then let's figure out a way around it.
Well, so when I first moved to LA, I was going to school. I had no money. But like, I knew that I needed to network. Like, I knew that was a skill I had. Like, right. I knew that I could, like, go in a room and make people my best friend. And so I thought, like, that's how I would get a job in LA, was, like, meeting the right people, networking. And so that was, like, and I was a party girl. And so I wanted to go out all the time. But, like, I would have a choice of, like, do I want to eat dinner tonight or, like, do I want to go out? And right. so I would like wager, like, I have $20, like, maybe I can go to an event where they're like serving food and eat dinner there, and then I'll have money for a taxi. Because back in the day, like, you had to have cash.
Right. We were talking about that. Yes. There was like, when there was no Uber.
No, if you pulled out your credit card in a taxi, like, the looks I would get, like I'm imagining this like young 20-year-old girl, like, and the guy being like, no, get out here, like, on the street, and like. Yeah, like, the struggle was real in the beginning.
Right.
Like, and I remember, like, when I first moved here, like, driving down Melrose Avenue, just, like, crying, being like, I'll never be able to afford anything in this city.
Right.
And, like, you struggle. I mean, when I worked on Drag Race, like, I used to, like, live off the food on set, and, like, I would bring, like, chips from Crafty home and have
absolutely.
Like, that's how I paid for my boobs, was after... Season four.
Was with chips? You were selling
season
chips?
Season four, I was like, you're going to take every paycheck and put it into your bank account and only live off of set. Mm-hmm. So, like, I would like, make enough lunch to, like, bring home that night.
Right.
Or, you know, just, like, live off of set.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's looked. Do you have boobs? No one's even noticed at all. No one's
well,
paid attention.
Well, this dress is very classy, so you can't really tell. But
oh, that's the, yeah.
But when you met me, I had no tits.
I know.
I had bangs, a short bob.
Yeah.
So bad. No boobs. I would wear like, I started to get like crafty with like the way I would show up to set. Cause I thought that made me stand out, and I like wanted the queens to notice me, and
right.
like I wanted production to think I was cool. And so I would wear like these like wild, I can't believe like 6 a.m. on set, I was showing up in like corset with like sequin shorts on.
Yeah, like Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I had like something weird barrette in my hair because I was like, I thought you all were like the coolest.
But that's
thing
where
ever,
the, that's where the name came from, Star Booty, which
Star
is like
Booty.
A RuPaul name. But I used to call you that because you had one or several pairs of different printed star leggings.
Yes.
And I was like, ooh, look at Star Booty. Like, and I still call you that.
Yeah, and I didn't even know what Star Booty. Like, I remember going home and watching Star Booty that night and being like, oh my God, Rue. Like,
right.
Everyone that sees that
you're
movie
so
for
different.
The first time, you're
you
like, oh my
so
God, wild girl. But no, like, I loved, yeah, leggings were my jam. Yeah. But I remember the first time I showed up to set, like, I was so green that I didn't know that, like, you had to wear a walkie-talkie. Uh-huh. And so they, like, handed me the walkie-talkie that day. And, like, where do you put a walkie-talkie on leggings? All day I had to, like, keep pulling up my leggings because the walkie-talkie was, like, pulling them down.
Right.
But then I found out if I just wore a belt, like, you could put
right.
that. But, like, my first day, a mess.
Right, but then the other dolls that work there are like, yeah, we were gonna wear leggings, but we're wearing cargo shorts.
We're wearing cargo shorts now.
We have to work.
It was so also, funny. Like, all gay men. And, right. like, I'd never worked anywhere where, like, I got so many compliments.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm a Leo, like, I live off of compliments. And so, yeah, it was, like, the perfect situation for...
Right.
Someone, like, in neglect of love, obviously, in their life. Now that I'm in therapy, I've realized it's, you know, other reasons.
That's what it's taken.
That's what it's taken.
That's what it's taken, to be broken down and then brought back up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got broken down by the queens. I mean,
yeah,
really broken down.
All in season 3 or after?
No, I mean, that came when I met Detox. She really broke me down. But no, like, Raj, I feel like... Feel like Raja, you, like the OGs, like it was teaching me reading. Like I didn't even know what that was. Mm-hmm. Like, and I grew up with all boys that like bullied me. So I think that's why like I was attracted to it. I was like, oh, these are like girls that bully me. And
like
we can like
girls.
We can talk about like hair and makeup and right. like they make fun of me and it's like fun and like
right.
It's just the best.
Yeah.
I think queens bring out my best self.
I think they do.
They do.
Especially, yeah. But you also bring out so much as well. I mean, I always say, like, I'm inspired, like, to do drag. I feel like I'm a female impersonator. That's what I like to do. That's the type of drag I like mm-hmm. to do. And I feel like I'm inspired by so many women. Like, literally every single woman that I see, there's something. Whether it's, like, hair. We were talking earlier about, like, hair. Just the shape of something. I was, like, looking at it and I'm thinking, that's something that I always aim for. And I see that in this person that may not have intended for that in that mm-hmm. moment, but it's there. But then it could be for someone else, the way that they stand up for themselves. Or, you know what I mean? There's always
totally.
Something in every woman, I feel like. Except for you. Like, no,
what is it about me?
Yeah, what is it about you? Let's take a break.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll be right back. We are back. I'm sitting here with Chanel Perillo, who is my friend for now over 10 years. We worked together on Drag Race. But I say work together, but we didn't really work together. You babysat me on Drag Race.
Yeah, I babysat you. Yeah. Like, I was learning. I mean, that was, like, my first, you know,
yeah.
thrown into the jungle. And yeah. then to work with queens, I think it has made me a sickening producer now because I, like, if you could work with drag queens, you could work with anyone.
Yeah, for sure. For
and
sure.
we've done lots of stuff. Remember that we did Jay Leno? Remember I booked? I used to
I've
back
been
in
looking
the day,
for that clip. I can't find that clip
I have
anywhere.
I have a picture of it. But yeah, like back in the day, like there wasn't even queen managers. There
right.
was like Diana Cooney. Shout out to Diana. But mm-hmm. like there wasn't. And so like if there was someone needed a queen for something, like there started to be this like grapevine of like hit up Chanel. And I remember like someone hit me up for Jay Leno show.
Yeah.
And I got like 20 of you there.
It was all of us. And it was the
was it Jay Leno?
Yeah. Or... I think it was. It was like 12 ladies dancing or
a
something.
A Christmas special.
It was all Christmas. And we were all on there. And it was like everybody was in it.
A lot. Like
yeah.
legends.
Yeah.
All the legends.
Because it was a long time ago. So there was really less to pull from because it was like right after season 3.
Mm-hmm.
So there you only had those few back.
I only had to have so many queens in my... Now there's so many queens I couldn't even.
Right.
But back in the day, they like, who was it? They, like Detox or Raja used to say like Chanel collected another drag queen.
Right, right. But it's true. And you do spread those opportunities around. You've offered me a ton of opportunities that basically when they fall into my lap, you're like, these are the confines. I didn't create the confines. This is just what it is. If you would like to do it, I can move you along. If you're not. And that's what works really well is when something's really clear like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times it's not clear with situations. And also too, I feel like because there are so many now opportunities, which are amazing to see all the queens now from like We Are Here going to the Emmys in drag. I remember when I went to the Emmys not in drag because I was like, well, it's a little bit disrespectful because RuPaul is, you know, I didn't want to go in drag because I thought RuPaul is the drag queen from this show being nominated for their drag. I'm only being nominated for a technical award. So it would, I felt like in my mind, it was like weird. But it's not weird when these people are being nominated for their shows and their drag personalities. We get to see it. So it's great. Really ends up being great for everybody because for the fallout on the back end, it just shows more drag everywhere. But is there, I also noticed too, like there's this discussion that happens with drag about the opportunities that fall in the laps of some of the same people consistently. Is it because they have a good record with a record out there, or is it a type of personality that people like to work with? How does that work?
Give me an example.
Well, an example would be like if somebody was saying like, oh, we're going to do a, we're going to do something that's all about Broadway or children or acting as another drag queen or something, you know, would those things for pride gigs, you might see the same people over and over for pride gigs. And people are like, we'll just reach out to them for makeup, a makeup sponsorship, a water, Sparklets water. you're also going to be representing a Flesh Jack. You're going to, and it's like, why is the same person getting everything when there's like all these other people with all these voices? Sometimes I see these gigs like at like, say, a university.
Okay.
You're going to come speak at a university, but it's the same people over and over that can't like form a sentence, but then they're constantly booked for that. Like, but then, you know, that doesn't necessarily fall into your category. But as far as television goes, is it only people who have acted before?
I honestly have this theory that like you have to be annoying to get far. And so whether it's their manager was annoying, they're like not annoying, but I say annoying in a sense of like keeps like pushing for their client, or maybe it's like you never really know the situation.
Right.
Like it could be their manager has an in, or it could be like, you know, I give a lot of credit to like Rhea Littre, who like Rhea Littre like she will like pound someone's door down until they hire her, like offer to do it for free, you know? Like, so it's like, you never really know the situation.
Right.
Maybe like certain people, yeah, I don't know. You like, stumped me on that one.
Well, because I just think like, for instance, like Drag Race, like there are people who have big personalities. So, you know, I remember back in the day, we used to do a show, we talked about Peanuts all the time. There used to be a host of the show named Fabulous Phyllis. And Fabulous Phyllis was very animated, looked like Phyllis Diller. Obviously, for all intents and purposes, you know, in 2001, the term would be, that's a man in a dress, people would say. I'm comfortable knowing that. Well, Phyllis would always host the trans show.
Okay.
So that people coming in who were not aware of how to be comfortable or how to go, oh, these are women. It doesn't matter at what point these women were assigned or chose the term. People would get to see this, quote, drag queen that was over the top, and that broke the ice. That made them feel comfortable in a way.
I get that in a sense of, like, I think the industry is completely changing. Like, I think the doc on Netflix Disclosure opened up my eyes to a lot. I think a lot of times it was, like, there was this, like Willem back in the day. Like, Willem would always get cast as like the trans character.
Right.
Because there was like, and remember, like I remember she would say like they would want her to like not shave, or like they would want her to butch up. I think that if the audience, like back in the day, they were more concerned. I think the concern was more for like the male patriarchy. Like if a man is looking at this queen and is like turned on, or like that's like a whole other discussion. But I think there was like this safety of like, you need to know that that's a man dressing in drag.
And it
has nothing to do with like the art or anything like that. It's like, I think it all has to do with the male patriarchy.
And I know you've witnessed this too, because you've worked like literally, we're within a 20 mile radius of one another. So we work with on the same projects, even outside of like a 9 to 5. You've seen major companies that have the resources and the wherewithal to do something, not utilize it, and not even because really the person who makes the ultimate decision is even saying no. It's because all the people down the way are like, no, they're not going to do that. They won't do that. And so they don't even think to ask. But then there's projects going on where the people, like friends, would be like, if I had $1 million, I would give it to you. And it's like, because I know you would, I'm going to show up for free. I would absolutely show up for free, because on the back end of this, let me know when I can be there for you.
Oh, completely. That's always been my, like, I mean, I think I've been in like 20 drag queen music videos. Like, together, I never even thought to like charge anyone. Cause that's like, I feel like we've always been building each other up. And it's like, you work on this project for me. Like, then I'm gonna hit you up when I have a project or, you know,
they're
like.
They're just big showcases. They're big showcases. Remember when we were like out in the, what was it? We were in like Redlands for Manila's video.
Yes.
And we were like wearing all of the like Chanel jewelry. Like, it was sickening.
That was sickening. The Brad Hammer. Yeah, that was the, and you all, it was the Heathers.
Yeah.
The Heathers.
But it was sickening. The Heathers.
The Heathers. I know. Heathers. I was going to
say the Heathers.
The Heathers. I'm an honorary Heather.
You are an honorary Heather, Stacey. You are.
I didn't know what the Heathers was until you all told
me about
it.
Until you watched. Yeah. Until Drag Race. That's so funny. That's so funny. But yeah, I think about, you know, so many of those opportunities where it's like, I feel like, yes, we're so much further than we were, but we're still so far away.
I mean, so much has changed, though, in 10 years. I mean, I remember having to, like, explain drag to my friends.
Right. Right.
Like, terminology. They thought I was so weird. Like, and then I would always, like, the whole pronouns, like, mm-hmm. I just always, once I started working with drag, like, I just started, everyone was a she to me.
Mm-hmm.
And my friends would get so confused because there'd be all this, now there's pronoun talk, but, right. like, back then it was
entirely, it was new. It's still, for some people, it's still new because I think many people, myself included, are afraid of making a mistake. And then the reality is that I feel like in many ways, it's like speaking a language that's like sort of foreign to you. Like, no one's going to fault you for making a mistake. And no one's going to fault you for saying like, oh, you used the wrong word. But because you asked and said like, what do I properly use? It really makes you stand out and just shows that, like, you're looking outside of yourself
mm-hmm.
and realizing that, like, you just tell me, you know what I mean? But it's also, it doesn't hurt to ask.
Even, like, casting-wise, like, I remember when I first started, it would be like, oh, like, you know, we have a certain number of, like, gay people, certain, now it's like, it's really gone liberal.
Mm-hmm. You don't have to, like, assign how many to...
No.
Right.
You know? And I think that's just going to keep getting better.
Yeah.
You know? Like, the fight still needs to be fought. You know?
I don't know why I'm zoning out on this, but I'm listening to this. It's just, like, thoughts. Like, you know how I overthink everything? So, like, in my mind, I'm like...
I'm an overthinker, though, too.
I don't know why we do that.
I don't know.
Yeah. Like, I overthink everything.
Everything.
Right. For no reason.
The last sentence someone says to me, I'm like...
You know, when I realized I started overthinking certain things when it came to like wardrobe was working with Rue. I can remember her always being concerned about the warmth or the coolness of something. So she would be like, I want to wear that color of wig because there's a warmth to the dress. And so when Ooh. We would sit down and pick up jewelry, I would be like, you know, pull out like sort of amber colored things. And she would be like, that's too warm. Do you know what I mean? And I remember thinking, like, this is important. Like, this
is... Yeah, taking notes.
Because you know, too, in what we do, even as a... If you're saying... If you say to someone, I'm a casting director or producer, what comes into that is an understanding of acting, an understanding of photography, modeling, makeup, hair, styling. You have to be able to do all of that before you can successfully... You know, you have to be a good basketball player to be a good team... to be a good coach.
Mm-hmm.
So in drag... You have to understand a little bit about, you may not know how to facilitate those things, but I could look at something and go, you know what? I do look really bad on the monitor. I think
you all liked that about me is I wasn't scared to tell you.
Right.
If you had a string hanging or like people are afraid to talk to you.
They are. And they shouldn't be because you're helping.
And yeah, like I would be like, oh my God, there's something on your face. And you all would be like, oh my God, no mm-hmm. one would have told me that, you know?
Yeah. I have a handful of photographers that I like to work with, and like I've worked with other people that like maybe somebody else was paying for a project, and they're like, "Can you approve this?" And I look at it, and I'll go to the other photographer, and I'm like, "Look, we're friends. Tell me what. Am I wrong that something's wrong here?" And then they'll give me the terms. No, it's this, this, and this that you're seeing wrong, and that. So it's like you know, a photographer, you know, knows a sound tech knows they're behind the camera all the time, there's something wrong with the monitor. Maybe that's not my job, but I can tell you what's wrong. That's what we have to do.
Yeah.
Producer, actor, drag queen, like everybody has to know everybody's job.
You have to do everything.
Job.
And a queen is a full-fledged production, you know? Like it is. It really is.
It's a lot.
And you don't have to overthink. I want to be told that over and over, but like, you're so good at what you do.
Thank you, but we do overthink it.
I know.
You're good at what
you
do.
But maybe that's why you're so good at what you do is because you are overthinking.
But then maybe that's why I also have like a nervous breakdown and want to pick up my work table at home and start smashing the furniture because I'm like, this wig is supposed to lift like this way, not this way.
Maybe you just don't drink enough.
No, I don't. What's your drink of choice?
I'm like a wine girl now. I'm getting old.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
A wine mom.
Like 10 years ago, it was vodka Red Bulls. Like, I went through a whiskey phase, and now I'm a wine girl.
I think everyone goes through a whiskey phase. Whiskey phase is, like, kind of a dangerous phase.
Yeah, like,
you know,
I want to
be bad.
Yeah, I'm like, I want to be
cool.
Fuck you. Fuck this. Like, yeah.
Whiskey Coke. Yeah. Like, pissed or something.
Yeah,
you know,
Jack
whiskey
and Coke.
Come on.
Yeah, Jack those are my angry years.
Jack and Coke. I remember Raja used to do Jack and Coke.
Oh, yeah.
She was angry back then. Right?
We've all.
What is that?
I don't know.
My mom used to say that tequila always made her knuckles hurt. And I was like, why, mom? She's like, because I always end up crawling home after a fucking drink.
Yeah, like if I'm going to drink hard alcohol now, yeah. It's like a tequila moment. Like a tequila soda, skinny marg.
Oh, we're just going out for Margie's.
Skinny marg.
I actually like anything with an umbrella in it. I'm such a lightweight.
Yeah, you're like a tiki lounge.
I am. I used to think that the bigger you were, the more you could tolerate, right? But what because I thought like, well, you're going through like a bigger distillery. So
yeah.
It's going to like, no, that's not true because I rarely drink. I'm not opposed to it. And I'm not like sober or anything. I just never think to drink.
Yeah.
So when I do, I'm like, woo, yeah, like, mom's drunk. Yeah. Like, it's very that.
Yeah.
Like, it's
yeah.
sad. It's
well, and
sad.
You're like you said, you're an overthinker. So like if you were to drink before your craft, like you'd
right.
probably.
Oh, I'll get hot.
You'd probably like, have a panic attack.
Like that the whole time.
Yeah.
A panic attack. Okay, how about we take a break?
I have to pee.
Let's take a break. We'll be right back with Chanel Perillo. And we are back with Chanel Perillo. We're just like spilling the tea, the house down, Godmama boots, all of it, owl necklace.
Owl necklace.
Just throw it in there. You know.
Delta used to say I was like one of those girls that wears owl necklaces.
You are. You are the owl necklace lady.
No, but I think those girls are more of like the Instagram where they are like all look the same. Like, I had
you
potential to be an owl necklace girl, but I kind of, like...
Are you... So you're not, like... You were never, like, Michelle-y, like, or, like, Ashley, L-E-I-G-H, or
no,
Ashlyn.
I've been to one bachelorette party in my life.
You don't do all that.
No.
You don't wear dick necklaces.
No. Like, oh, my God.
I know you don't.
Like,
I know you don't.
Like, that one, I was, like, so excited. But, like, I'm, like, the cool girl that, like, hired the stripper,
of
you know?
Of course. Of course. Okay, so this is the part of the podcast which could be one of my favorites.
Okay.
This is where we open letters that people
okay.
send in. These are from YouTube watchers. These are from people that listen. And also, if you would like to send a letter to the podcast, send a letter to readmedelta@gmail.com, and then we'll get them here. They will filter to me, and they will show up here.
And you, like, read these people?
No, it's like read the letter.
Okay.
I mean, I guess I could. Is this it?
There's another letter.
Should we do this one first? Girl.
A FedEx. Major, it got here.
Yeah, so people are sending the letters in. Finally, I did track down my letter opener. I have friends that, as I started the podcast, started like sending me like these different monogrammed ones. This one's from Big D. You know Big D.
Big D.
Yeah, from Long Beach.
Yeah. I haven't been to a Long Beach drag show in so long.
Right? Okay. Dear Delta, thank you for all of the work that you do. I've been trying to find this online without success. What fragrance do you wear when you address the United Nations General Assembly? Is there a shoe that makes you feel more powerful? A handbag? Love, Silvio.
Oh, Silvio.
Oh, Silvio. Thank you. A fragrance for when I address the United Nations. Well, today we have three fragrances here that I would not wear to address the United Nations, but two are from Givenchy, and then this one smells like Cocoa Puffs.
What's your, like, smell iconic that. One that I've known? Like, I could smell it right now in my head.
That smells like That's Cocoa Puffs.
But that does. It's, like, sweet.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, that's good.
Well, I like to wear... I like to wear Youth Dew by Estee Lauder. I feel like that's a very powerful fragrance.
That smells like you.
That smells pretty good, right? Yeah. That one's kind of warm.
Yeah.
This one's very floral and green, so I don't know if you like that. I would say when I address the United Nations, I would wear something from the Elizabeth Taylor collection.
White Diamonds?
It is a version of White Diamonds, but it's called White Diamonds Legacy. You know, there's different versions. There's like White Diamonds, Diamonds Legacy, Diamonds Night, Sparkling White Diamonds, Diamonds and Rubies, Diamonds and Emeralds, Diamonds and Sapphires, Rare Pearls, Black Pearls. She's like 17 fragrances, but she doesn't have the most. Paris Hilton has the most. So a handbag, well, I'd have to have a clutch, of course. I like to collect vintage clutches.
Ooh.
And I don't like a clutch that's under 17 inches. It just doesn't work for me. I need the proportion.
You need
a
bag.
Yeah, I have a few that have been handmade for me by a friend in Palm Springs who does all leather work. So that would be the handbag. And the shoe would have to be, even though it is business, it would have to be open-toed for me. And it would have to be a mule. I'm inspired by Dolly Parton and Lonnie Anderson. Those are the people, and Charo. I always liked their shoes when I was growing up. That Sexsvetteri shoe.
I didn't know you wore open-toed mules.
Yeah, you have to. Like clear, like the clear ones.
Oh, the clear.
School, or like the, what you would call like a Polly's shoe, which is like the wooden base with the metal heel. And then like,
ooh.
Yeah, I always wore those on Drag Race because they were super comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I remember Rue pointing out, she's like, I have those shoes. Are they Betsy Johnson? They're so comfortable. And I said, they are. Because they look a little more significant than they really are. The incline isn't there. Do you know what I mean? I like Sexsvetteri. Like, you know who wears a great shoe? James Mansfield.
Oh, yes.
She loves it. She just wears that. And it's just with everything. And it's just pretty. It's simple. That's what I would wear.
Yeah.
That's what I would wear.
You have to be comfortable when you're addressing the nation.
Or I would wear crew shoes for people who work at Wendy's. I would wear those.
Do you wear Crocs?
I don't. Raja does. And you know what? Actually, I feel like this is another example where I got shit on. I called out the fact that Raja wears Crocs. And then the Crocs people reached out to her and they were like, oh, would you like to be our ambassador? And I was like, wait, I was just kind of joking. I've never had any Crocs to even say, like, if they're comfortable or not. But the people from Crocs reached out. And so Raja has all the Crocs in the world and all these coins. And, like...
Have you checked your... Like, you should DM them.
Girl.
You just got to DM.
Girl, they kicked me off the Patrick Star mailing list already. Hello, readmedelta@gmail.com. I was going through your website, and I personally see a lot of potential in your website and business. With your permission, I would like to send you a quote of your website with the prices showing a few things to greatly improve search results as much as 130%. We can place your website on Google's first page, Yahoo, etc. May I send you a quote and price for your website proposal? Thank you, David.
You feel like you got shit on again?
Well, I don't have a website. So there's that.
Maybe they're talking about your Instagram.
Oh, there's a lot of potential. Followers.
Well, I get those DMs every day.
But I've heard a lot of the girls buy followers.
I feel like a lot of people buy followers, but I didn't know that queens did.
I heard that some of the, well, this is just, you know, rumor, of course, but, you know, and I don't like to make room for rumor or speculation. However, I have heard that some of them do it because then it, like, you get paid on Instagram if you have more.
Oh, yeah, I
totally
don't know about
right now.
It's okay. I was a little burpy earlier.
Okay. I just burped. There's nothing there. I was on the way here. I was going to stop and get something to eat. And then I kept saying, I'll just wait till I get closer. And then there was nothing.
I have to ask this. What is your favorite drive-thru?
Honestly, like, it always had been Jack in the Box just because I like their Coke, their Diet Coke situation.
I love that you base your food off the Diet Coke.
It has to be. And then everything else falls into place. So I can find something like later on the menu. But if I'm going to eat a meal, probably Wendy's.
Okay.
Because they have great salads, or at least they used to. And they have like seasonal, like they'll have like the harvest burger or the whatever. Their salads used to actually be better, and you're too young to remember this, but once upon a time, they used to have the Garden Spot.
I feel like I remember Wendy's having a bomb salad back in the day.
And they used to have a buffet where you would get
yes,
to build your
yes.
salad. Yes. For one trip, it was $1.99. For two trips, it was, or no, for unlimited trips, it was $3.99.
I remember the salad bar.
And it was
had
in like
good
a,
croutons.
Yeah, and it had like a little garden atrium. You could mm-hmm. say, oh God, I miss the days.
Oh, the days.
How are they trying to tell me that they're going to build my website, though? Like,
and did FedEx a letter? That's so...
Do people have websites, like personal websites still? Isn't Instagram your website?
Instagram is. I feel like it depends on your, like, field that you work in.
I get people that will be like, oh, we need this on merch. Like, they'll, you know, they're just being supportive. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, oh, I love a shirt like this, or I love this image on merch. And I'm like, oh, yeah, like, thanks for the support. Like, I've got stickers and stuff, or I've got magnets. Or like, yeah, no, we're good. And I'm like...
Well, you need t-shirts.
Thank you for dying to support me.
Like, you need t-shirts with your quotes from...
Well, this is the problem, is the overhead. Because what happens is, even though there are people that are interested, there's not enough that are interested mm-hmm. to where it would be like a profitable thing. It would be more like you would just make it to cover it. And I guess that's fine, but like...
The quickest, funniest story, though, but like
me.
I had like 2,000 Vicky Vox shirts in my garage.
And you made a gown.
No, like the plan was to do something with them eventually, but they had sat in my garage for 5 years and I would give them out occasionally to people. They were these old shirts that like Vicky didn't like at the time. Mm. She likes them now, but at the time she didn't like them. So I kept them in my garage. It was like kind of this like bitter mm-hmm. like emotion towards them, like, oh, the Vicky Vox shirts.
Right.
Well, 5 years they were in my garage. Last week I go and somebody stole two boxes.
No.
And then Ray LaTre was walking down Hollywood Boulevard and saw, like, two of them on the street.
What the fuck?
So, like, I think someone, like, stole them, so...
They thought there was, like, something else.
I don't know how they got in my garage, but, like, somewhere someone has 2,000 Vicky Vox
shirts. Do you think it was the guy that thought that you were talking to someone else and then was texting and then it was a different guy?
May know.
It could have been.
I don't know. So you love Delta Co. You love Jack in the Box. Wendy's is number one.
Wendy's is number one. I love Del Taco quite a bit. But have you ever had Farmers?
No.
Farmers is bomb.
What's
they're,
Farmers?
They're mostly based, like... in like Riverside, like out that way, but it's very like a mom and pop, like a Jim's Burgers mm-hmm. kind of place, except it's a chain mm-hmm. and their food is super
like a Tommy's,
super.
If you will.
I would recommend them for a Cobb salad. Well, you eat vegan, so no,
I know my life's boring now.
No, there's well, they can work around it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
People can work around it.
Yeah, there's
it's
no
just
reason.
It made me have to be more annoying. Is what being a vegan like? I could eat anywhere. I just have to be like a little bit more annoying.
Yeah, but you know what.
You're, one life. I got one
healthy,
life.
It's healthy, though. It's really good. No, it's better that you make those decisions now. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Because then it makes it less, I would imagine, less difficult to acclimate yourself to. It's just a way of life.
I also have a funny rule that you're probably going to, like, laugh at me.
No.
But I'm a vegan in the United States. Mm-hmm. But when I go to Europe, mm-hmm. I'm allowed cheese and butter and dairy.
No, I don't know. Cause see, I'm
because then it limits me.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, gotta wait till like I could, you know, go on a trip.
You have to pick and choose.
Gotta pick and choose.
Yeah.
Cause if not, I would just sit at home and eat pizza and croissants all day.
I'm Dorothy in the streets and Blanche in the sheets.
Yes,
so it's different, but it's similar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I get it. You have to have rules. You have to be malleable.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be able to move in certain situations and mm-hmm. shake in others.
Yeah.
And I think you know how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also know how to, like, I really know how to eat at fast food places. And
see, I don't know
vegan.
How to eat. I've never eaten.
you do.
I don't know how to do that. I want to learn. Actually, I'd like to learn how to overeat. Is that a thing?
I feel like it's a thing.
It's a thing.
I feel like it's a thing. You undereat?
Oh, always. I told you I didn't have breakfast today. Can you imagine? I'll be so thin by 3 o'clock. I can't wait. I can't believe you made time to come here. Thank you.
Of course.
This is it, right?
This is it.
But will you do this again sometime?
I would love to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've kind of been starting my own little pod coming, so you're going to have to be on it.
Oh, my God. Absolutely.
Yeah, I was nervous before coming here today, but it's like this excitement of like when you're like a little kid and like before the talent show.
Yeah.
That's what I'm feeling right now.
In fact, I'm going to reach out to David here, who's going to build up my website.
See, and work on mine.
We could find out about you too. And also, if you want me to do your podcast, you can book me here on my website that doesn't exist. Thank you for being here.
Oh my God, no, thank you for having me. This is so fun.
Yeah, yours is coming soon. I know it has to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a talker. Gotta, you know, if I can get paid for it.
But wait, where can people find you again on social media?
Because I'm on Instagram, Shut Up Chanel.
Yes.
Hit me up on Instagram.
Hit you up on Instagram.
Hit me up on Instagram.
Hit me up.
My website, Instagram. It's just at Shut Up Chanel.
I used to know this girl, and she would, whenever she like kind of sort of signed off with someone and she didn't want to talk to them anymore, this is back like when people had pagers too, she would talk to them on the regular telephone and she'd go, page me, I late. Page me, I ate late.
I had a pager.
I had a pager too. Did you have an eggplant colored pager?
How did you know that?
Because that's what we had.
I know, but mine was full on purple with like the little strap that hung onto your pants.
Uh-huh. Listen, I want to thank you all so much for joining me on Very That. I love doing this with you. It's so much fun every week. A special hello to everyone watching on YouTube. As you know, Very Delta comes out every Monday right here on the Very That podcast feed and on the Mom Podcast YouTube channel. Also, you know what's Very Delta? Subscribing to Mom Podcast so you don't miss an episode. And of course, you can send a question about love, life, mid-level fashion options, fast food, fashion food, under-eating, overeating, any obstacle to readmedelta@gmail.com. And of course, you can follow me on Instagram at DeltaWork. I look forward to seeing you next week right here. Until then, make sure that you keep everything very Delta. To listen to Very Delta one day early and ad-free, sign up for Mom Plus at mompodcasts.plus. Very Delta is produced by Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom. Hosted by Delta Work and produced by Mark Jacobs. Engineered by Margo Padilla and editing by Doug Robertson. Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Big Dipper, and Joe Cilio.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true, but shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son George on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. The show is full of wit, scandal, action. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.